3. Exodus chapter 3. We can and should learn so much from these Bible characters, so many in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And we've been hearing about Joseph tonight. But just now we want to think about Moses. Exodus chapter 3. We are aware of the fact that Moses was an outstanding servant of God. And we believers today might be inclined to think, well, you know, I'm no Moses. I don't believe I'll ever be used in some great way as Moses was used. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are servants of the Lord. And we are to serve Him faithfully, diligently, giving Him all the glory. We might not serve in some great ways. For most of us, it might be in little ways. The routine of the daily life, in the ordinary ways of life. Nothing spectacular, nothing big necessarily, but if it's of God, then everything that we do in service for Him has lasting value. Whatever our sphere of service in which we believers are engaged, there are some very important lessons for us to learn from the Word of God. And we are to learn these lessons that what is done with lasting value, what is done for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is done to please and satisfy Him will be that which He does in and through us. Many of these lessons are brought out in the lives of Bible characters, but I want us just for a little bit to consider this man, Moses. And I'm well aware of the fact that so many of us in this auditorium have read much, we've heard much, and maybe know much about this man, Moses. God dealt with this man, who became a great servant. God dealt with him in a number of different ways. I want us to consider just a couple of them tonight. As we think about God dealing with Moses in dealing with five parts of his body. Now, we'll not consider all of them tonight, just two of them tonight, and the other three for another time. But I want us to think about God dealing with this man, Moses. Exodus chapter 3. And I trust you have a Bible or access to one there. Please read along with us. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not near here, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It's interesting, isn't it, that in dealing with this man Moses, to prepare him for his great service for God, God dealt with his feet first of all. Moses was on the backside of the desert. God dealt with him. You've heard and read the story many times, perhaps. The sight of the bush aglow with the inextinguishable fire was to become the occasion of a life-changing encounter with God. Moses was never the same. As you know, it was at that burning bush that God transformed Moses from an unknown desert shepherd into the greatest and best known leader of people until the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. Now, so many lessons can be learned from this man Moses, but we can only consider a couple of them tonight. As I consider these verses, I realize that it was just an ordinary bush. Nothing unusual about the bush, apart from God using it to manifest His glory. It was just an ordinary bush. However, this ordinary bush became an extraordinary bush because of the glow of the divine presence, which revealed itself through that bush. Now, Moses had to learn, in spite of his great colorful past in Egypt, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was really just a common bush in God's eyes. Just an ordinary bush, if you please. Moses came to realize that the important thing about his own life was not himself, but the glory of God that was revealed through him. I must confess, and I think you would do the same, that we seem to have difficulty in learning this. This means a right relationship with God and a realization that whatever is accomplished in the way of service for the honor and glory of God will be God's working in and through us. I want you to remember this little quotation. It is worth remembering and worth learning. God has more to say to us and to do in us than to say through us and to do by us. Now, the emphasis is that we need to spend time in God's presence. So, Moses, remove your shoes from your feet. The ground on which you stand is holy ground. Moses, you're in the presence of Almighty God. Remove your shoes from your feet. Now, this experience produced in Moses a sense of the holiness of God. Young people here at the Gospel Chapel, older ones too, but this is youth night. Young people, I think you know by now I'm for the young people. And thank God for all of you. Thank God for your dedication, your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, thank God for your service for the Lord in your individual life, as well as in and through this testimony here. I am for the young people. But you know, it seems to me that we have become so informal in our society that I think we have lost a sense of reverence that is due God. I don't mean to be critical. And I say this to myself. Most of you know what a sense of humor I have, and I really have to guard against it. I see some believers, and I wonder if they were baptized in lemon juice. I see some others, and I wonder if they're using embalming fluid at the Lord's Supper. I'm not advocating that type of a thing. I'm talking about being who we are and being what we are before God, but I'm talking about reverence before God. We all have become so informal. I'm not a hard stickler for, a straight-laced type of a life. I appreciate some of this informality. But I think we all have become so loose, so informal in everything that we do. I was in a restaurant some time ago. Louise and I were sitting there. And I said to Louise, I said, now, you look at what I'm looking at. Here was a man with three young men. I presume the father of maybe one or two of the boys, maybe all of them, I don't know. They all had ball caps on. When they sat down to the table, they removed their caps, took them off, all bowed their heads and gave thanks. And I commented about that when I passed them. I commended them for what they did. But we've become so informal. I think we have lost some of the reverence that God expects and that we should give. I'm not telling you anything that you do not know. The Bible speaks of believers in Christ as being saints. That sounds strange to some who profess Christianity, but the Bible speaks of believers in Christ as being saints, which means that we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That is, we are set apart by God in Christ as being holy. Those of us who are saved, when we trusted Christ as Savior, God set us apart as being His purchased possession. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We belong to God. God set us aside as being His purchased possession. And in doing so, in sanctifying us in Christ Jesus, God made us believers holy, so that He can enjoy us. And at the same time, He put within us His own divine Spirit so that we can enjoy Him. And thus we have blessed communion with our Heavenly Father, with our Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We are to manifest reverence before God. In our daily life, in our church life, we're to manifest reverence. I trust we will learn this lesson. And something else I see as I think about God dealing with the feet of Moses and telling him to remove the shoes from his feet because the ground on which he stood was holy ground, is this truth. We are to walk in the consciousness of the presence of the Lord, equating all that we are and do to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this is a lesson we need to learn. Take time to be holy. Now, shoes, because they are related to the feet, remind us of self-activity. This characterized Moses in his early years in Egypt as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had an active life. And the Bible has much to say to us believers in Christ as to our daily walk, our daily deportment. We are to walk circumspectly. We are to walk as unto the Lord. We are to pursue our Christian course, looking unto Jesus, giving Him all the glory. We remember, do we not, how Martha of Bethany, sister to Lazarus, was troubled about many things in her service for Christ. You'll read of this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You will remember how Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was irritated. And she filed her complaint with the Lord concerning her sister Mary, who was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus rebuked Martha, saying Mary had chosen the good part. The Lord said, Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. Is it possible that our service for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's singing in the choir, whether it's leading the choir, playing the instrument, teaching a class, whatever it is, deacon activity, leadership responsibility, is it possible that our service for the Lord in the local church, as well as in our daily life, could become a source of irritation? Well, we need to spend time in the presence of the Lord being occupied with Him. Now, I don't want a show of hands, because, like many of you, I would be ashamed maybe if I had to raise my hand to answer a question that I'm about to ask. But young people, older people, how much time are we spending with the Lord day by day? My, we live in a fast world, don't we? You've heard me say many times, we live in a heat and eat, a brown and serve, a chill and pour, a sip and dip, a wash and wear, instant grits type of world. Everything is instant. And if it's not done instantly, we become irritated. But I wonder, in all of this busyness, if we are spending time with our blessed Lord each day. And here again, it's a rhetorical question. I don't expect you to raise your hand or to answer out. But how much time are we spending with the Lord each day? Are we spending any time at all with Him? Martha was disturbed. Her service had become a source of irritation. And it seems to me that in many churches, people are so over-programmed that in some instances, our service does become a source of irritation to us. How much time are we spending in the Lord's presence? And I'm not talking just about in a service like this. I'm talking about each day, having devotions before the Lord, spending time with Him, committing each day to the Lord. Fellow believer, remember this, that doing comes from being. I am convinced now, having been saved over a half a century, that our service for the Lord will be as effective as our time spent in His presence. And we shouldn't expect our service to accomplish any more for the honor and glory of God than the time we're spending before Him in preparation for that service. Doing comes from being. And so I think of His feet. And the lessons are reverence and taking time to be holy. You remember when the priest was sanctified and dedicated to the service of the Lord, the blood of the sacrifice was placed upon the lobe of his right ear, and I think the order is the toe of the right foot first, the thumb of the right hand, and then the lobe of the right ear. And you know, we sometimes sing, "Where'er I go, the world shall know the blood of Jesus ransomed me." Well, they need to know that. And we need to be conscious of the fact that whatever I hear, whatever I allow to come into my body, whatever I do in the way of using my hands in day-by-day activities, wherever I go, as manifested with the foot, all of me is marked by the blood of Christ. So we learn these lessons concerning His feet, reverence, and taking time to be holy. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. All right, so the Lord dealt with his feet first. Now God is dealing with his hands. What's in your hand, Moses? It's a rod. It's a shepherd's rod. And that shepherd's rod must have been his glory as an experienced shepherd. But for him to be used in the service of Almighty God, he had to let go of all the glory of the flesh. Cast it down, Moses. Should Moses let go of that symbol of his strength and valor? Cast it down, Moses. And when he did so, it became a snake and a cursed creature. And Moses ran from it. I would too. You've heard me say only four kind of snakes I don't like. Big ones, little ones, dead ones, and live ones. And occasionally we'll see a poisonous snake around our place, coppers particularly. I would run too. No glory in that. And then at God's command, Moses picked up that snake by its tail, and it became a rod again. But what kind of rod? Look at chapter 4 and verse 20, please. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the what? The rod of God in his hand. Now that makes a difference, doesn't it? That makes a difference. Moses, that represents your glory, your strength, your valor. Cast it down. It became an accursed thing. Now pick it up. And now it becomes the rod of God. And Moses used the rod of God in Pharaoh's court, Exodus chapter 7, at the Red Sea, chapter 14. At the rock of Horeb, chapter 17, and in the fight with Amalek, also chapter 17. Young people, older ones, what's in your hand? You might say, well, a songbook. It might be a Bible with a lesson, so far as a class is concerned. It might be most anything. So far as daily activities are concerned, it might be a computer. It might be the instruments that you fishermen use out there in the sea. What's in your hand? God wants to use us for his glory. What's in your hand, David? Just a sling? What's in your hand, Gideon? Oh, a trumpet and a pitcher. What's in your hand, little boy? Well, I have here just a little bread and some fish. God wants to use us. But we need to learn lessons that these Bible characters had to learn. Do you want to be used for God? What's in your hand? Do you realize the ground on which you stand is holy ground? You know, I so appreciate the music played by these musicians. But I also enjoy singing a cappella every once in a while, and I want you to turn with me to 145 again. We're going to sing a cappella as we close. I will serve thee because I love thee. I trust this is true with you.